You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll talk about the future of the Black Lives Matter movement under a Donald Trump administration.
First, Donald Trump's victory was led in large part by a shift in rural counties in key swing states. And Wisconsin was no exception, according to an analysis by Craig Gilbert at the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel.
22 Wisconsin counties switched from Barack Obama in 2012 to Donald Trump in 2016. 18 of those were rural. Trump won rural votes and voters by 27 points. George W. Bush never did better than plus 10, and Barack Obama won those voters by 8 points in 2008.
A lot of people, Democrats in particular, are asking what happened. Our next guest says a lot of rural voters and white working class voters abandoned Democrats because, in part, Democrats abandoned them. Mike McCabe joins us now. He's founder and president of Blue Jean Nation and author of the book Blue Jeans in High Places, The Coming Makeover of American Politics. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, this isn't just a presidential race story. Democrats did poorly with rural Wisconsin voters kind of across the board, didn't they?
They did, and this is something that's been in the making for quite a few years. I grew up on a dairy farm in Clark County, and actually my hometown used to elect Democrats to represent them in Congress and in the state legislature when I was young. And my hometown had the distinction in the last election for governor of giving Scott Walker his biggest percentage margin of victory of any community in the state. It was the reddest community anywhere in Wisconsin. So I've watched my own hometown shift from electing Democrats to overwhelmingly favoring Republicans. So it's something I've seen up close.
And you reposted a piece recently that you'd actually originally written a year ago and said you wouldn't change a word. You were talking about these voters, Democrats ignoring them, and you saw at that point that Donald Trump had an opportunity to win in part because of those voters.
Unquestionably. Just to give you one example, I was... On a single day, a couple of weeks before the election, I was in Toma and then I was in Waupun. And in both places, I ran into people who said that their local town boards were discussing turning paved roads back into gravel because they couldn't afford to maintain the pavement. So if people from communities like that make a trip to Madison to go to a Badger game or they go to Milwaukee to take in a Brewers game, they see all these new traffic circles and clover leafs and these massive highway expansions, and they can't fill their own potholes. So they're thinking, we're paying our gas taxes, we're paying our taxes, and they go off to Madison or Washington, and they never seem to come back here to benefit our communities. And so why shouldn't we just keep government as small as possible and keep our taxes as low as possible? And if that's your conclusion, then what becomes your default option at election time? Which party has done the most to brand itself as the party of less government and lower taxes? That says a lot. And, you know, in the past, they could see tangible evidence of how Democratic policies benefited them. They can't see it now.
And you are saying it isn't just a matter of Republicans have won their votes. You think that Democrats lost them. How?
Well, the Democrats have become an urban party. And as a result, their leadership is made up of urban people with urban consciousness and urban awareness and so they've stopped really having a good feel or an understanding of the rural way of life, the rural sense of place, the unique challenges for rural communities. They don't speak the language of rural people, and I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to urban audiences and had people say that rural people are voting against their own interests. And my answer is always the same. You see their interests differently than they see their interests. And you're imposing your own understanding of their interests on them. You've got to find out how they see their interests and make them a better offer than the Republicans are making them. And it shouldn't be that difficult because the Republicans aren't doing a lot for rural Wisconsin or rural America. But rural people feel like they're doing better than the Democrats are right now.
Is there a structural thing? Do Democrats, I mean, what you're just saying, there is still the urban-based party coming out and selling themselves. Do Democrats need to be recruiting more people and leadership from rural parts of the state?
Absolutely. I remember a time when the legislature was full of rural Democrats. There are people like Tom Harnish and Harvey Stauer and Jervis Hefner and Bill Rogers, and I can go on and on. The legislature was full of rural Democrats, and now it's a vanishing breed. It's virtually an extinct species, the rural Democrat, and that robs the Democratic leadership of that understanding of what's going on in small towns and people for people who are living out in the country. They just don't have the kind of awareness that they need, and it's costing them severely at election time.
Talking to Mike McCabe from Blue Jean Nation about rural voters in Wisconsin and elsewhere turning from Democrats to Republicans. He says Democrats have to accept blame for that. Mike, one response in this election, one ongoing debate, I think, within the Democratic Party, too, is the issue of race. People saying Donald Trump won because of an appeal to racial resentment, and there's a fragmentation in the Democratic Party. Okay, if you're turning away from the urban part of Wisconsin or America, does that mean you're abandoning minorities, black voters in particular? Can you serve both, rural white Wisconsin, urban black Wisconsin?
Yeah, days before the election, I was speaking at an event and had somebody come out and say, point blank, the only reason rural people are voting the way they are is because they're racist. And I said, well, if that's true, then how do you explain the 2008 election? Rural counties voted to elect the nation's first black president. Barack Obama won 36 counties in Wisconsin. That's a lot of rural counties. And how do you explain the 2012 election, where not only did rural counties help re-elect the nation's first black president, but they helped elect an open lesbian to the United States Senate? And yet, those rural voters weren't voting for the white male heterosexual Democrats for state assembly or state senate, but they were okay with the black guy and the lesbian. How do you explain that if this is all about bigotry? There's something more going on, and I think it still comes down to the fact that rural people feel forgotten, ignored. They feel like their needs are being neglected. And that's where Democrats have to be less inclined to just practice sort of constituency-based interest group politics. They have to come up with a message that is much more encompassing and much more universal, that they've got to become the champions of all working people in every sector of the economy, and they've got to come up with solutions that can help both rural and urban populations. I think it's possible they've forgotten the rural component of it. They used to have governing majorities because they had an urban-rural alliance. So it's possible to construct an urban-rural alliance because the Democrats constructed one and it provided them with governing majorities for decades. That alliance has been fractured, and the Democratic leadership seems sort of at a loss as to how to reconstruct it.
In the piece I mentioned that you'd written a year ago, you talked about economic populism once. So you look back at FDR. This is something that was practiced by Democrats in urban and rural areas. You see that having gone away.
Oh, yeah. You know, right now, the Democrats are socially progressive, but what I would describe as economically elitist. They've become very cozy with Wall Street. There are a lot of corporate Democrats who are sort of in charge. That's a toxic combination for rural areas. Rural America is more socially conservative than your average Democrat, and they yearn for economic populism. I think Democrats can remain socially progressive, but they can't remain economically elitist. And just to give you an example, one of the reasons so many people voted Democratic, people from my parents' generation, my dad was born in 1919, my mom in 1921, they actually remember the completion of rural electrification. That revolutionized rural life, and all the paved roads helped them get products to market that they otherwise couldn't, and electricity was huge. Well, you can go down the gravel road that leads past our old farm to this day, and you'll see electric wires leading to every barn and every farmhouse down that entire road. But you won't be able to get an internet connection, and you won't be able to get a mobile phone signal. So one of the better offers that could be made to rural voters is, look, we're going to bring 21st century technologies, information and communications technology, like high-speed internet and like mobile phone service, to every doorstep. That's the kind of thing FDR and his allies did roughly a century ago, and that's what today's Democrats really don't seem to have strong interest in doing today. And to me, making everybody capable of fully participating in American life and fully participating in the 21st century economy, that's something that makes sense for urban people, rural people. That's something that, that actually can unite people rather than divide us.
Another critique, and I can't remember where this was, and so I can't cite it, but somebody said, Democrats, if you're a member of the Democratic Party, a lot of times your participation is, here's an envelope, send a donation, maybe come knock on doors for us every 4 years. Do we need, this could be true for Democratic and Republican parties, do we need old-fashioned membership political parties again?
Yeah, the system has been so taken over by professionals who are paid to run campaigns, to raise boatloads of money, and then to spend money on all kinds of paid advertising for the candidates. And people have been sort of cut out of the process. And I think we need a politics that invites amateurs back in, gets the citizenry much more engaged. And that's particularly necessary in rural areas. When they just go out in rural areas and send people junk mail and run TV ads and radio ads, but they're not out at the county fairs and they're not in the 4th of July parades and they're not at the coffee shops and the cafes and they're not at the bowling alleys and taverns and they're not interacting with people face to face, that's a huge turnoff for rural people. Rural people still believe in getting to know you face to face, person to person, and politics is way too impersonal today. And I think the Democrats have fallen into a pattern that's very destructive in terms of how they campaign for votes out in rural areas.
We're talking to Mike McCabe, founder of Blue Jean Nation, looking at Donald Trump's big win in rural areas of Wisconsin and elsewhere. He says Democrats have done a lot lately to lose those voters.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're from rural Wisconsin, have you maybe cast a ballot for both Barack Obama and Donald Trump? Did you feel represented by Democrats or either party for that matter? And what would Democrats have to do to win back rural parts of the state? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we continue our conversation with Mike McCabe from Blue Jean Nation. He says rural voters in Wisconsin and elsewhere abandoned Democrats because Democrats abandoned them.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're from rural Wisconsin, we'd love to hear, do you feel like Democrats have abandoned you? Do you feel like either party represents you? Were you a Barack Obama, Donald Trump crossover voter? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Joan is on the line in Eau Claire. Joan, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. It is true that many Republicans won seats in their respective state houses. However, many of those Republicans won due to the extreme gerrymandering we've had to endure since 2011. Democratic candidates, at least in Wisconsin, haven't had a chance since the gerrymandering of 2011 for a fair competitive election outside of the safe districts. And also, let's not forget the dark money flowing into the state since the 2010 Citizens United. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Joan, thanks a lot for your call. Mike, Democrats often blame redistricting. There are a number of uncontested seats in the state. I mean, is that an excuse?
Oh, I've worked for years, well over a decade, on the redistricting issue and trying to promote a fairer way to draw these district boundaries. So you don't have to persuade me about the need for a system that would move us away from this partisan gerrymandering. But having said that, we're not going to get redistricting reform from the current legislature because they're benefiting from the way they've drawn these lines. So the way Democrats are going to have to thwart the effects of redistricting is to change the hearts and minds of 6 or 7 or 8% of voters. They're going to have to make a better offer to those voters. They don't have to get everybody, but what the Republicans did is they turned a lot of 51-49 or 52-48 districts into 60-40 districts or 59-41 districts. So it gives them an overwhelming advantage. But that means that if they've turned a district into 59-41 district, you need to flip 9 or 10% of the voters and you win. That means going out to voters and convincing them that you've got something better to offer than the other side has. And it's been a long time. This has been a problem that's decades in the making. It's been a long time since there has been a real Democratic presence in a lot of these rural areas. It's been a long time since the Democratic leadership has sort of been able to speak the language of rural people. They've written off a lot of these areas. They don't even run anybody in a lot of these districts. To me, it would be it's important to lose in the short term in some of these races in order to have your message out there and have candidates engaging with voters, telling them some different version of reality than what they're getting from the current Republican office holders. Democrats aren't doing that. They've sort of written off large swaths of Wisconsin, which I think is a strategic mistake.
Joan, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Chris on the line in Abbotsford. Chris, hi.
Hi, my, I just wanted to comment on following Russ Feingold's process, attempt to get elected again. I saw him very active out in the counties and doing a real grassroots campaign. I guess any comments on that, because I did see him trying to reach out to the rural part of our country.
You know, there are certain Democrats who have tried to do that. As a whole, the party has tended to be neglectful of rural areas, and I think at the top of the ticket, you had a candidate who wasn't even coming to Wisconsin at all. And so no single candidate like Russ Feingold or anybody else can single-handedly overcome what's going on and that has been going on now for decades. And, you know, you're from Abbotsford. I grew up outside of Curtis, right down the road, in Clark County. So I know that territory well. Abbotsford was actually something close to the big city for me, given where I grew up. And I've watched that area change from a point where, at one point, the Assembly Democratic leader was Frank Nicolay from Neillsville. And Frank Nicolay was as progressive a Democrat as you can imagine, but people saw him as one of them. They trusted him. They knew him. And they continued to send him to Madison to represent them, even though he was a very, very liberal Democrat. And today they just don't see that same Democratic presence, with some notable exceptions, like you suggested.
Chris, thanks for that call. We're talking to Mike McCabe, founder of Blue Jean Nation. He says Democrats have done a lot over the years to lose rural voters who made a big difference in last week's elections. Bill joins us next in Cottage Grove. Bill, hi.
Yeah, you betcha they lost my vote, because I'll tell you, every time they excuse these high school kids skipping class to protest whatever and whatnot just because they don't agree with anything, and they talk about all this justice stuff, but they don't bother to hold people accountable to the law, and they constantly talk about common sense gun control. Well, we've got 22,000 gun laws, just enforce what you got, and it's all talking down to me, talking that I'm stupid. I'm not stupid. I'm a responsible citizen, and I care about my fellow citizens, and they don't care about me.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Bill, seeing lack of accountability, gun laws, and this is, I think, a big theme, feels like he's being talked down to by Democrats.
I think that's the biggest thing of all, is just the disrespect. And like I said, everywhere I go when I talk to urban audiences, it's this article of faith among Democrats that rural people are voting against their own interests. And there's an implication there that rural people are too stupid to even be able to understand what their best interests are. And that's offensive to rural people, and it should be offensive to rural people. And so everywhere I go, I say, one, people where I grew up are not stupid, and they're not voting against their own interests. They don't happen to see their interests quite the way you see their interests. But so it's the job of Democrats to go out there and listen and to ask people, how do you want to be represented? How do you see your interests? And then make them a better offer than the Republicans are making. And it's that's been a long time in coming. This was a change election. And people didn't want more of the same. They didn't want to stay the course. They wanted change. Donald Trump ended up being seen as the change candidate. Hillary Clinton was seen as the embodiment of the political establishment. She was seen as the consummate insider. And I think that made the choice pretty clear for people. They wanted to send a big message to the political establishment that they feel ignored and disrespected. And Donald Trump was the personification of that desire.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Ed in Woodruff. Ed, hi.
Hi. Say, I just want to ask the guest to elaborate on an article I read back in 2011 in Mother Jones. The issue is called Vampire Economy. And in this article explained how the Democrats have kind of leaned towards Wall Street is because of the decline of labor unions. They relied too much on those donations, which their policies helped working class. But since the decline of the labor unions, they had to go elsewhere for their big campaign donations.
Interesting point, Ed. Thanks a lot. So the loss of labor money led Democrats to seek a piggy bank on Wall Street.
Yeah, there's been a decline in union membership. There was a time when half of American families had at least one union member in the family. And now it's about 1 in 10 Americans who are unionized. And if you look at the private sector alone, it's more like 1 in 15. And so I think some Democrats looked at the diminishing union membership around the country and the decline in the labor unions, and they said, okay, let's look somewhere else. And they went to Wall Street and they went to corporate America, and they have sort of cast their lot. You see a lot of corporate Democrats out there. What working class people, regardless of whether they're union members or not, what working class people are seeing is that their interests, their fortunes are being ignored, and they feel neglected, and they're ticked off.
Briefly, Mike, Democrats in Wisconsin relied on unions to knock on doors and do the nitty-gritty campaign work. They've been accused of that, relying too much on that. Where do they find that retail politics sort of workforce now?
If they develop a real understanding of what working class people, especially those in small towns and who live out in the country, if they find if they get an understanding of where those what those people are thinking and what they want, and if they develop a message that's a strong enough message, they'll find people who will go knock on doors. They'll find that the support will come their way. But as long as they have a message that seems neglectful of rural people, there's not going to be enthusiasm for Democrats. The Democratic brand is in rough shape outside of places like Madison and Milwaukee.
20 seconds. Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca, just reelected, says Democrats need a total reassessment. Do you think it's going to happen?
So far, what I'm hearing sounds to me like Democrats are circling the wagons and are not fully coming to terms with what they're up against. But, you know, hey, if they don't get the message from this last election, I don't know when they ever will.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Been talking to Mike McCabe, founder and president of Blue Jean Nation, author of Blue Jeans in High Places, The Coming Makeover of American Politics. A lot of callers still on the line that we didn't get to, but you could keep sharing your thoughts on this issue over at the Central Time Facebook page. Have a link to the article by Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, breaking down a lot of the numbers there as well. Again, the Central Time Facebook page.